If you have a copy of the scriptures, please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Sometimes when we have, when we're looking at a whole chapter, I will just read selections of it to you, and perhaps being behind schedule would dictate the wisdom of that this morning. But I'm not going to. We're going to read all of chapter 16, verses 1 to 34. It's going to help us think about Jesus as our priest. Friends, this is God's word for us this morning in Leviticus chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie with the linen sash around his waist, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water, and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side, and in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel, and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleannesses of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting and shall take off the linen garments that he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in a holy place and put on his garments and come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. In the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who lets the goat go to Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. And afterward he may come into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. Their skin and their flesh and their dung shall be burned up with fire. And he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement wearing the holy linen garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all of the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year, because of all their sins. And Aaron did as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning and we need to hear a word from you. And we thank you that you've given it to us. And we pray for wisdom, we pray for understanding. We pray that your spirit would open our hearts and show us Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, Jen and I took our kids to see Disney on Ice. And Disney on Ice is basically the plot of every Disney movie on ice. People skating around. And there was a young lady who was the MC of the event. So she wasn't on skate. She just sort of ran around in the crowd, hyping up people. And at the very end of the show, she turns to the crowd and she says, without irony, you can be a hero too. Just be the best version of yourself every day. This, friends, is the gospel according to Disney. Before we get into the Day of Atonement, I want to tell you and share with you briefly a Bible story about two people being the best version of themselves. And this story is actually the background of our passage today. And these two people are named Nadab and Abihu. They are sons of Aaron the high priest, and they are also priests in the tabernacle. These are priestly men, and they decide that they want to draw near to God. They are well-intended. They are indeed the best version of themselves. We find that story in Leviticus chapter 10, and I'll read it. It's only two verses long. See if you spot the issue. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. The best version of Nadab and Abihu was not good enough. Their good intentions in worshiping the Lord were not enough to approach a holy God. And believe it or not, this is where the background of the Day of Atonement comes from. What we just read, that long passage, because this passage we read, Leviticus 16, is God's response to this incident with Nadab and Abihu. That's why it opens in verse 1 by saying, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the response of God in Leviticus 16 is to remind Aaron that his good intentions, his best version of himself, is not enough to draw near to God because of his sin. You see, friends, God's holiness is a risky proposition for sinful people. In fact, that's why God gave his people priests, and that's why he gave them sacrifices. And so briefly this morning, before we look at a few particulars here of the Day of Atonement, I want to think briefly about sacrifice in general, and then we're going to look at the Day of Atonement specifically. When I was growing up, when I was a kid growing up in the church and hearing the Old Testament stories, I wished I lived in the Old Testament. And here's why. It seemed a little easier to go and offer sacrifices to God than to constantly be worried about whether or not I had believed enough in Jesus to be saved. Now, the problem is I misunderstood the role of the sacrifices in that way. Because the sacrifices that God commanded his people were not about appeasing or manipulating or controlling God. It wasn't a mechanical process where if you just went through the motions, you were all good. In fact, God tells us time and again in the Old Testament that the sacrifices were meant to accompany faith and repentance. In fact, God says several places that he hates sacrifices without repentance. Places like Hosea 6:6, Psalm 51:16, Proverbs 21:3, among just a few. God wants his people's hearts to mirror what is happening in the sacrifice. But that kind of even begs the question, why do we have these sacrifices at all? Why does God command that his people kill goats and bulls and doves? And the reason is simply this. God wants to dwell with his people. God wants to dwell with his people. God wants to move into the neighborhood. In the Old Testament, that's literally what God does when he establishes his presence in the tabernacle. God has a physical address in Israel, later in the temple. But for God to dwell among his people was risky because they were sinners. And so sacrifices were God's way of protecting sinners from his holiness. He would make atonement for their sins through these sacrifices. Atonement simply means he would cover their sins in these sacrifices so that they were not endangered by their sinfulness. But there's a problem even there, because God's people would only bring sacrifices for the sins they knew about. And we don't know about all of our sin. It was true of us now. It's true of God's people in the Old Testament. And so the unintentional sin of God's people endangered them when they dwelt with their holy God. And God's response to this is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is how God dealt with the fact that not all of God's people's sin was covered by the sacrifices they brought. And the Day of Atonement was an annual day of sacrifices that would cover all of the sin of his people, even and especially their unintentional sin. That's what our passage is about this morning. And the reason I read the whole chapter to you is that I wanted you to see how crazy and how intricate all of the procedures and the process for the Day of Atonement was. It's a bloodbath. There are animals being killed all over the place for this thing. And so what I want to do, I'm going to pick out a few highlights that we're going to focus on as we think through this Day of Atonement. We're going to focus on those things and then see what they teach us about our need. So try to imagine this. Verse 11, we kind of pick up here. And after washing and changing his clothes and putting on holy garments, Aaron, the high priest, has to begin the Day of Atonement by atoning for his own sin and the sin of the other priests. You see, that was one issue already in the Old Testament, is the priests were also sinners. They needed the forgiveness that they helped secure for other people. And so the Day of Atonement begins with Aaron bringing a bull for a sin offering so that he can even approach God and do the work of atonement for the people. And so in verses 15 and 16, you see that after having done all of that, Aaron goes inside the veil, into the very holiest place in the tabernacle, the place where the very presence of God sits, with a goat that he has sacrificed. And this goat was a sin offering. And he takes the blood from this goat and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat, which was the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God's very presence sat. And it's amazing what verses 15 and 16 say he's doing, because he is making atonement for the tabernacle itself. The tabernacle itself, the tent of meeting itself, have been defiled because it dwells in the midst of this sinful people. You see, friends, we talk about how sin endangers us before a holy God, but sin also defiles us. But you know this. You know this experientially, because this is why you feel dirty, ashamed, and unclean after you sin. This is why you feel like a hypocrite sometimes in church. This is why sometimes after you sin, you don't feel like you are worthy to read the Bible, because sin defiles us. We actually see this in secular psychology as well. There's studies that show that when people are physically clean, if people have just bathed, they will avoid activities they consider to be morally unclean. People realize that they are defiled by sin. We are wired to feel defiled by sin's presence. So atonement has been made. Aaron has brought a sin offering for himself. He has made atonement for the tabernacle itself. And then in verses 21 and 22, you see something amazing happening. There is a live goat now. This goat is not sacrificed. And Aaron is required by God's law here, by the procedure that God has set forth, to put his hands on the head of the live goat and to confess over the goat all of the iniquities and transgressions of God's people. How long do you think that took? It's like, well, Pete, last week, Lord was... it's amazing to think about all of the iniquities, all of the distorted loves, all of the places where God's people love what is evil. That's what iniquity is. And all of the transgressions, all of the actual bad stuff, all of the actual disobedience of God's people. He has to confess all of those over this goat. And in fact, what he's doing, the text tells us, is he is putting the sin of God's people onto the goat. This goat is bearing the sin of God's people. It's the scapegoat. That's where that comes from. And this goat, instead of being slaughtered, is sent out of the camp. It is sent out into the wilderness, into a remote area. And the Hebrew word there for remote area is actually translated, or could be translated, to the cut-off place. Way out, away from God's people. And it's a picture of the sin of God's people being removed from them. But the Day of Atonement hasn't ended yet, because Aaron still has to, we see in verse 24, wash and change his clothes again. And then he has two more sacrifices. He has to offer one more sacrifice for himself, and he has to offer one more sacrifice for the people. And at that point, it's done. At that point, the Day of Atonement is done. And God says in verse 30 that when this is all done, you shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. At this point in the procedure, you could probably still see the goat in the distance. The horizon is about 3 miles on the flat ground. And 3 miles would take you about 60 plus minutes. It's rocky, so we'll say more than an hour to get from the camp to outside the camp over the horizon. You could still see your sin, and you are pronounced clean before God. You see the goat. You've just been pronounced clean. And I guess I just wonder, what did that moment feel like? What did it feel like to be pronounced clean? What did it feel like to watch the goat bearing your sin vanish over the horizon? What did it feel like to be declared clean. And how long did that feeling last? Think about that. How long did you feel clean? How long until atonement was necessary again? How long until the next time you thought the wrong thing or loved the wrong thing or said a harsh word to someone? How long did it last? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? An hour? A day? How would you feel then after the first time you've sinned again? Clean to unclean. How long? How did it feel when that happened? The closest maybe parallel we have would be something like a New Year's resolution, right? Where for all of 19 minutes you're on a diet starting January 1st. We've talked throughout Advent season about how maybe it's helpful for us to think about sin as addiction. And this how long question actually in addiction recovery is a major focus of emphasis. If you talk to an alcoholic, he can tell you how many days he's been sober. This how long question is a live piece of ammunition. And how demoralizing is it when the time goes back to zero? When the days reset to zero, when we relapse. You see, friends, we've talked about again the previous few weeks. What I want you to see again and again is that resolving to do better doesn't work. Resolving to do better is not the heartbeat of the Christian life. We need something better than us being better. And our longing for that better thing, I think, is built into the Day of Atonement. I think longing for something better is built in, is baked in to Leviticus chapter 16. Because God's people have more sin than a goat can cover. They need a better sacrifice. A sacrifice that doesn't have to be repeated every year just for them to be clean for an hour. They need a better priest. They need a priest that doesn't need to make atonement for himself so that he can even offer a goat to cover their sin. They need a better tabernacle. They need a tabernacle that's not defiled by the sin of God's people. And what I want you to see this morning is that Jesus is the one who fulfills all of the longing built into the Day of Atonement. Jesus is the better sacrifice. Hebrews 10:14 tells us that by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It is a sacrifice, what Jesus did on the cross, that does not need to be repeated. By a single offering, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus is not only the better sacrifice, he's the better priest. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he is like us in every way except without sin. Jesus doesn't need to have atonement made for him so he can live to make atonement for us. Jesus is also the better tabernacle. And that sounds like a strange thing to say, but in John 1:14, the Apostle John tells us that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. And the word that the Bible translates as dwell there is the Greek word for tent. The Word became flesh to tent among us. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's the same word they use for tabernacle. Jesus became flesh to tabernacle among us. He is the better tabernacle, not defiled by our sin. See, friends, on the cross, all of our sin, past, present, and future, is put on Jesus. And the Bible tells us that that sin is not removed from us just over the horizon, but actually as far as the east is from the west, which is an infinite distance, our sin is removed from us in Psalm 103. And more than that, more than just our sin being taken off of us, all of his righteousness, all of his holiness, all of his purity, all of his goodness is put on us. and we are declared righteous, not just for a moment, not just until the next time we sin, but for eternity. That's why Hebrews 9:12 says we have an eternal redemption. Jesus is better. That's the whole point of the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. He's better than everything that came before, and he is better than the best version of ourselves. You see, friends, sin has wrecked us. Sin has enslaved us. And Jesus doesn't make us simply the best versions of ourselves. Jesus makes us what we were made to be. And what's amazing is the whole point of this atonement. The whole thing that even underlies the reality of needing atonement is simply this. God wants to be with his people. God wants to dwell with us. That's what he made us for. That's what we were made to do, is to dwell with God. That's what happened in the garden. We were made to dwell with God. And what's amazing about the Day of Atonement is simply this. God doesn't wait on his people to clean themselves up so that they can dwell again in his presence. God came and he dwelt first, and then he made atonement for them and covered their sin. And the tabernacle and the tent and this separation that had to happen so that his holiness didn't endanger them, I dare say broke God's heart. Separation from his people broke his heart, but it was necessary for our safety. But now, in Christ, God again has come. God again has dwelt with us. God again has made atonement, and God tore the veil that separates us from him. And friends, what Christmas is at its most basic and at its most foundational is Christmas is the celebration of the better tabernacle. Christmas is the celebration of the fact that God has come to dwell with his people. And it reminds us and points us forward again and again to the fact, to the reality that we will dwell with him for eternity in a world made new. Would you pray with me? Father, we confess that we feel the effects and see the effects and experience the effects of sin every day. We feel the danger. We feel the defilement. And Father, at times it overwhelms us. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of Christ. That you would anchor us in Christ. That you would remind us of our perfect sacrifice, of our perfect priest, of our perfect tabernacle, and that our redemption is secure. And that even as we experience sin, even as we continue to sin, Lord, we are forgiven people in Christ. Anchor us in that truth and teach us what it means to live as your people who will dwell with you for eternity. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.